Welcome to the CDH Conversations podcast. My name is Brigitte Mangale, and I'm a director in our pro bono and human rights practice based in Cape Town. With me today are my colleagues Elgene Ruiz, a senior associate in our practice, and our candidate attorney, Sibono Kuhlebart. We record this episode as part of our Beyond 16 Days podcast series, a platform meant to communicate our dedication to confronting the issues relevant to the 16 Days of Activism, not just during that period each year, but year-round. Today, we're talking about a topic that sits right at the intersection of law, equality, and lived experience, and that is LGBTQIA plus rights in South Africa.
That's right. South Africa has one of the most progressive constitutional frameworks in the world when it comes to equality and non-discrimination. But the reality for many queer South Africans doesn't always match the legal promise.
Exactly. We'll be unpacking how far we've come, what challenges remain, and how we can contribute to real inclusion. So, grab a coffee and let's dive into what it really means to have pride in practice.
To start off, let's ground ourselves in the legal framework. South Africa's constitution is the supreme law of the republic. That means that any law or action that is inconsistent with it is invalid. And it also means that our laws and policy must be developed in line with the constitution and its values, including human dignity. Section 9 of the Constitution guarantees equality for everyone and explicitly prohibits discrimination on the basis of gender, sex, and sexual orientation. This means that, at least in principle, South Africa recognizes that true equality requires protecting people from all forms of gender-based and identity-based discrimination.
Elgene, tell us more about how our law gives effect to the provisions of the Constitution.
Well, Brigitte, there is legislation in place to ensure that our law, on paper, enforces constitutional provisions. The Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act, also known as PAPUDA, gives effect to Section 9 of the Constitution by prohibiting unfair discrimination, harassment, and hate speech by the government, private organizations, and individuals. In order to enforce PAPUDA, Section 16 establishes the Equality Court, which can be approached where there has been a violation of the prohibition against unfair discrimination. And what we see in our constitutional dispensation is that our courts are the arenas for legal progress. For example, in 1998, the Constitutional Court in National Coalition for Gay and Lesbian Equality versus Minister of Justice struck down the criminalization of same-sex sexual conduct between men. Then in 1999, the same Constitutional Court ruled that immigration laws had to recognize same-sex life partners, extending to them the same benefits that were previously reserved for married heterosexual couples. This was at the time before same-sex couples could legally get married. But just a few years later, we had the landmark Minister of Home Affairs versus Fourie case in 2006, which legalized same-sex marriage. That judgment further confirmed that the state could not deny same-sex couples the same dignity and legal recognition afforded to heterosexual couples. Those cases show how our courts have been instrumental in affirming LGBTQIA+ rights. But they also illustrate something deeper. That equality isn't just about legal status. It's about ensuring that people actually live with dignity and security day to day.
So that brings us to the next question, which is, what's then standing between the constitutional promise and lived equality?
Well, Brigitte, there are a few things. First, social stigma remains a big barrier. Even though our law provides for the promotion of equality and protection from discrimination, many South Africans still hold negative attitudes towards LGBTQIA+ people, and victims of discrimination often don't know their rights or how to access the system. And unfortunately, we see serious gaps between the law on paper and reality, from hate crimes and bullying in schools to discrimination in healthcare, housing, and employment. It's also worth noting that transgender and intersex rights remain underdeveloped. The Alteration of Sex Description and Sex Status Act allows for gender marker changes, but this process is bureaucratic and medically intrusive for many. Which brings us to some of the current legal debates. One major conversation is the decriminalization of sex work, an important issue affecting trans and migrant sex workers who often face overlapping marginalizations. Members of the LGBTQIA+ community are not only vulnerable to discrimination because of their sexual orientation or gender identity, but also because of race, class, and immigration status. Another area gaining attention is conversion therapy. South Africa doesn't yet have a comprehensive legal prohibition, but advocacy is gaining momentum.
Right. So all of these examples show just how dynamic LGBTQIA+ law remains. It's not static, it's evolving.
And the evolution of our law in this way paves the way for more freedoms. For example, in Bonya versus the Master of the High Court, Section 2, Subsection 1 of the Maintenance of Surviving Spouses Act was declared unconstitutional insofar as it excluded heterosexual life partners from the benefits accruing to spouses and including same-sex life partners. It is clear then that our law is developing in the right direction.
So it sounds to me then that the law is shaped by both litigation and advocacy. What role can legal practitioners play in promoting real inclusion?
That's right, Brigitte. Advocacy and litigation play a big role in the changes we see. Human rights lawyers, NGOs, and pro bono practices can make a real difference. Groups like Access Chapter 2, Gender Dynamics, the Triangle Project, and legal practitioners like Lawyers for Human Rights and even our own practice support LGBTQIA+ cases, thus improving access to justice and helping individuals navigate complex legal procedures.
The legal fraternity holds a unique position because we know how to approach the courts and we can use that knowledge to assist the public.
That's right. We also have Chapter 9 institutions like the South African Human Rights Commission and the Commission for Gender Equality, where individuals can lodge complaints if they have experienced or witnessed human rights violations or gender injustice. Inclusion goes beyond simply having a non-discrimination policy. It's about creating environments where LGBTQIA+ employees feel seen, respected, and safe. That includes benefits for same-sex partners, recognition of chosen names and pronouns, and training around gender and sexual diversity. And for law firms, it's also about our public commitments, supporting Pride Month initiatives, offering pro bono work for LGBTQIA+ cases, and standing visibly with human rights organizations. It's worth remembering that transformation and inclusion go hand in hand. When we speak about transformation and equity, that must include gender identity and sexual orientation diversity too, because true equality is intersectional.
Before we wrap up, let's reflect on what progress looks like in real terms. For me, progress looks like the small wins. A client being able to change their ID marker without being humiliated, a trans student being affirmed by their school, or a queer person feeling safe at work. But it also importantly includes the big structural wins when the Constitutional Court recognizes that the LGBTQIA+ community deserves protection, or when Parliament considers inclusive legislation.
Each of these victories, big or small, builds towards a South Africa where equality isn't aspirational, it is experienced.
So what can we do to make our communities more inclusive?
We can start by listening, make a safe space for LGBTQIA+ persons to share their experiences. Inclusion isn't about policies alone, and equality starts with awareness, it grows with empathy, and it is sustained through action.
And use our skills where they matter. Take on the pro bono cases that protect queer rights. Support NGOs working at the intersection of law and identity.
And that then brings us to the end of today's episode, Pride in Practice. From all of us here at CDH, we thank you for listening and urge you to remember that inclusion is not just policy, it's practice. Take care.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.